Welcome to Ag Update. Whether it's dates, deadlines, or developments, Ag Update is your source for the latest news in the ag industry. And now, here is Ag Update.
This is Agriculture Today. I'm Tony St. James. Clock ticking on Capitol Hill as members of the House Agriculture Committee gear up to debate H.R. 2, that's the 2018 Farm Bill. The legislation is renewed every 5 years, and Representative Mike Conaway, chairman of the authorizing committee, says Congress will pass it before the current Farm Bill expires at the end of September. But to do so, however, Conaway may have to look past the Democrats in what is usually a nonpartisan working group. With the chairman's mark including tightened work requirements for some Americans on nutrition assistance, the other side of the aisle has walked away from the bill. Conaway and his ranking member, Representative Colin Peterson from Minnesota, do agree that the majority of the mark is bipartisan and needed in farm country. It's the tighter work requirements that caused Peterson's members to demand he stop negotiating. Showdown will begin in the House Ag Committee room on Wednesday morning. The United Nations shipping regulator formally adopted the industry's first global emissions target with a plan to cut greenhouse gas emissions by at least 50% by the year 2050. That will require the industry to completely redesign their fleets around new types of fuel. According to Reuters, delegates from the United States, Saudi Arabia, and Panama successfully lobbied to limit the results. To reach the lofty goal of cutting emissions in half, shipping groups say heavy investments will be needed in new fuel types, and marginal improvements in efficiency will not be enough. Maersk, head of sustainability, notes that the technologies are there, but they are also far too expensive, saying they don't have them at scale, referring to new propulsion technology. Now, the IMO, the International Maritime Organization, rules targeting air pollution also will cut the maximum amount of sulfur emissions that ships worldwide can burn to 0.5% of fuel content by 2020. Currently, it's at 3.5%, which analysts say will raise global shipping fuel cost by 25% or $24 billion in just 2 years. Well, speaking of costing more, how about making less? On average, U.S. farmers received 14.8 cents from farm commodity sales from each dollar spent on domestically produced food in 2016. That's down 0.7 cents from the year before. Now, known as the farm share, this amount is at its lowest level for the period from 1993 through 2016, and it coincides with a steep drop in 2016 average prices received by U.S. farmers, as measured by the Producer Price Index for farm products. Now, USDA's Economic Research Service uses input-output analysis to calculate the farm and marketing shares from a typical food dollar, including food purchased at grocery stores, restaurants, coffee shops, and other dining locations outside of the home. 2016 was the fifth consecutive year that the farm share has declined, though the 4.5% drop in 2016 was below 2015's 9.9% fall. The drop in farm share also coincides with five consecutive years of increases in the share of food dollars paying for services provided by the food service industry. It's Agriculture Today.
Welcome to Real Yield Radio. Thanks for tuning in to hear from another real grower having real success with the LibertyLink system. Dennis Christian enjoys the weed control he gets with the LibertyLink system on his farm in Stearns County, Minnesota.
Well, I was getting some resistance to glyphosate, and I wanted to break the cycle. It's been good. I don't have to worry so much about getting resistance.
Dennis says he's also been pleased with his LibertyLink yields.
Just as good as the other systems, if not maybe a little better. That doesn't hurt the yield from what I've been experiencing.
So I asked Dennis what he would say to another farmer thinking about using the LibertyLink system next year.
I would definitely recommend it. I would tell them that it's been working for me, and I don't see any reason why it wouldn't work for you, you know.
Keep listening for more real stories from real growers on Real Yield Radio.
The Liberty Link system has a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage over Asgrow Roundup Ready 2 Extend soybeans. More at libertylinkadvantage.bayer.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Town Talk Radio, the voice of Terry County, is your source for free news and event updates. Listen live at towntalkradio.com or download our free app today. Town Talk Radio is also the voice for regional high school sports, offering internet radio broadcast at no cost to the school. Call us at 806-637-0030 and don't miss another game. Town Talk Radio is a production of Adventure Marketing.
This is Agriculture Today. Beef cattle reproductive disease, trichomoniasis, all but disappeared from quite a few cow-calf herds a few years ago, but the highly costly disease made a comeback last year in some areas. Simply put, trich causes reproductive failures in cows and heifers. Dr. Greg Hanselcheck is with Kansas State University.
The only way that it can be spread is through the reproductive act. So we either have a positive bull that breeds a negative cow, or we can have a positive cow that when a negative bull breeds, we can spread it that way. But it can't be spread through blood, through aerosols, saliva. It really doesn't have any effect on the fertility. So these cows and heifers, they will conceive, but typically they're going to lose that fetus between that 50 to 70 days of gestation when it's really small, probably about the size of, actually smaller than a mouse.
Now, the only way it can be detected is when the damage is done. It results in reproductive losses.
For herds that preg check, they're going to have the veterinarian come in. The veterinarian's going to find a bunch of open cows and then a few that actually bred later in the season, in the breeding season. Herds that don't preg check, those are the ones that really take the hit, is that they don't understand or realize that they're positive until they start calving.
Yes, a trich vaccine is commercially available, but Hanselcheck would rather see producers concentrate on biosecurity as the main defense against the disease.
Buying or using used bulls is a risk. Even though they've been tested, it's still a risk. So purchasing virgin or young bulls would be number one. Purchasing younger bulls that have been tested would be even better. Purchasing bulls from herds that you know or have a good idea that they're not trich infested is another good way to prevent it. You know, people talk about we need good fences to stop the spread. I've seen a lot of good fences torn down by bulls and cows. Fences are important, but that's really not helpful. It's another purchased disease in bovine medicine, so it's just important to know the source of the bulls and the cows. I mean, used cows are a risk too. And we know some producers do that. They buy bulls that are, or lease bulls that are used in cows, and we're not saying that that's wrong. We're just saying those producers are at a higher risk of being trich positive than herds that do not practice those things.
Kansas State's Dr. Greg Hanselcheck. You can see how you can end up with a trich problem in your field. But why are we where we are when it comes to another issue, and that's trade? Chuck Grassley is a Republican senator from Iowa.
Quite frankly, I think if the president had used the WTO on steel and aluminum, it would have been a better approach than doing it directly as he did under the national security provisions of the 1963 law. I would say this. They didn't say that there weren't people in China stealing intellectual property, violating patents, and trademarks. They didn't say that there wasn't any of that going on. But they were very adamant that there's no government policies to promote and encourage that. And let me say this. As far as I'm concerned, that's an outright lie. They know what's going on, and the best way to do it, it may not be technically a violation of law, but if you want to do business in China and you don't certify that you'll share your trade secrets with them, you may not be doing business in China.
I was Chuck Grassley. He's the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee with jurisdiction over trade. It's Agriculture Today.
This is sorghum country, a place where a grain with a long heritage is making a comeback in our fields and invigorating both established and emerging markets. Thanks to our investments in the sorghum checkoff, you can find us in more places than ever. Over the past 10 years, we've transformed an ancient grain into nature's super grain. We've turned a drought-tolerant crop into a sought-after renewable resource. We've strengthened export demand. And by pursuing new markets, we've opened the door for new opportunities in growing markets, like aquaculture and pet food. And we're just getting started. We're investing in production research to grow more sustainably and developing new uses to create our own future. We are Generation Sorghum, and we don't just think different, we grow different. Our Sorghum Checkoff, celebrating 10 years of innovation. Follow our progress at sorghumcheckoff.com.
B&S Heating, Air Conditioning, and Construction, where a handshake means something. Actively serving Brownfield, Denver City, Lamesa, Lubbock, Seminole, and Tahoka, B&S offers an array of services, whether it be AC and heating repair and installation or residential repair, remodeling, and metal construction. B&S has you covered. Call Mark Slocum at 806-759-8200 or Mark Bearden at 806-759-8046 for your next project.
This is Agriculture Today. House Agriculture Committee debating the 2018 Farm Bill. The chairman of the House Ag Committee, Mike Conaway, says Title I has performed very well.
On cotton, we got it in as part of the disaster bill. So seed cotton, as you know, that blend of value between Zalint and cottonseed oil will be under Title I. Not much to elaborate beyond what I've already said. There'll be an opportunity for some of the drought areas to do a yield update. Obviously, we deal with the genetic base got dealt with under the previous work. So, again, this is Title I is more fine-tuning. County ARC payment system we think is going to be better using RMA data than NAS data. So anyway, we're not a lot there. The program's proven to work. You look at what we spent under those programs in spite of this 50% drop in net farm income over the last 5 years. They appear to have worked and worked well, and we'll be moving forward with them.
But he also explains why some things are unfunded.
There were certain things out there that didn't have baseline, and I didn't have any new money to create it, but we worked to try to combine things to move stuff around. So without something specific that you'd ask about, all those that narrow detail is available now. I just don't have it at the top of my head. But, yes, there were things that we were unable to save because we had different priorities than we had in 14. That's a different world. And as I've told anybody who would listen, I'm going to start making decisions at some point that will cause the honeymoon period I've experienced with production agriculture over the last 3 years to begin to abate a bit. Because, if you're moving things around to represent new challenges, then you run the opportunity of disappointing some folks. One thing we do that I hadn't mentioned yet is that we create a funding stream for a vaccine bank for foot and mouth disease. It's the one big ticket new item that came out of all of our conversations with not only the livestock folks, but also the security issues surrounding that piece as well. So thousands of dollars I had to come from other places that in order to make it work because I had no new money. I didn't have to come up with additional cuts, but I didn't get any new money either. And so that we don't provide as much as the industry asked for. But we've got a really good step forward in a kind of a combination of mandatory and discretionary spending with respect to that vaccine bank that we'll get up and running as soon as the bill's signed.
He has lamented the fact that there's no more money, especially for research.
Really tough subject. Off the top of my head, I don't think we reduced research, but we did not have any big upticks in it either, other than I think there's a little bit of uptick in especially crop research. But off the top of my head, I don't believe there was any cuts to research, but there are no big increases either. I know that's going to disappoint a lot of folks because everywhere we went, great research going on, particularly in our land-grant schools and our both the 1860s two groups as well as the 1890 schools, good research programs going on. Throughout this process, we also came to understand that the states need to do a better job of investing in the research facilities. It's one thing to get funding to actually do the research, but there have got to be labs and places to conduct that research that it's really hard to get funding for that. States are responsible for putting in place those kind of labs and all the stuff that makes it happen so that when a project comes up, it can actually be done on their campus and in their facility. So we did come to see that there's deferred maintenance across that entire section. unfortunately, I was unable to address that at all in the Farm Bill. Hopefully, it maybe as a part of the infrastructure titles or just the states themselves seeing the need and the value of that research that they'll address that. So,
again, Chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, Mike Conaway. It's Agriculture Today.
Welcome to Real Yield Radio. Thanks for tuning in to hear from another real grower having real success with the LibertyLink system. Dennis Christian enjoys the weed control he gets with the LibertyLink system on his farm in Stearns County, Minnesota.
Well, I was getting some resistance to glyphosate, and I wanted to break the cycle. It's been good. I don't have to worry so much about getting resistance.
Dennis says he's also been pleased with his LibertyLink yields.
Just as good as the other systems, if not maybe a little better. That doesn't hurt the yield from what I've been experiencing.
So I asked Dennis what he would say to another farmer thinking about using the LibertyLink system next year.
I would definitely recommend it. I would tell him that it's been working for me, and I don't see any reason why it wouldn't work for you, you know.
Keep listening for more real stories from real growers on Real Yield Radio.
The LibertyLink system has a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage over Asgrow Roundup Ready 2 Xtend soybeans. More at libertylinkadvantage.bayer.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Since 1986, Golden Peanut Company has been a global leader in the peanut industry. Golden has been helping farmers in West Texas over the past three decades as markets, manufacturers, and consumers have evolved. With their experience, Golden helps growers decide what to do before planting, throughout the season, and after harvest. Contact Kyle Hoard at 806-487-6485 today for your next peanut contract. Golden Peanut Company, connecting farmers to manufacturers and families around the globe.
This is Agriculture Today. Dr. Glenn Selk is Oklahoma State University Cooperative Extension Beef Cattle Specialist.
We're going to aim our discussion towards those ranches that have fall calving operations. One of the tough decisions that people with fall calvers have to make each year is when to wean the calves. Traditionally, fall calving herds have been weaned when those calves are say 9 to 10 months of age, out in the middle of the summer, and that leaves only 45 to 60 days between weaning and when the cows start to calve again. Research here at Oklahoma State University looked at an alternative weaning date of much earlier, when the calves were only about 7 months of age, and that meant weaning them here in April. As they made the comparison, and this was done over a four-year study with over 150 cows involved, what they found was that young cows responded differently than mature cows as to when the calves were weaned. Young cows, and I'm talking about those that were 2 or 3 years of age when they had the calf last fall, if their calf was weaned in April, then there was a much higher rebreeding percentage the following fall than did the cows that were left to nurse those calves until midsummer. And the difference was about 9%, 98% compared to 89%. With mature cows, those cows in that age category there of 4 and above, those had no significant difference, no advantage to leaving or weaning those calves earlier than their counterparts that nurse the calves clear out into the middle of July. I think from the cow standpoint, this tells me that if we're in any kind of a drought situation or concerned about the body condition of young cows as they go into the late spring, summer, we may want to go ahead and wean those calves in the case of those young cows. The older cows, year in and year out, looks like there's no real advantage to that early weaning for the fall calving herd. What about from the calf standpoint? Well, the difference, of course, in weaning weights just due to age of the calf is substantial. In this particular study, those calves that were weaned out here in the middle of July were about 204 pounds heavier than their counterparts weaned clear back in April. But, of course, if those calves that were weaned back in April were kept at the ranch and just put out on native pasture, they did a lot of catching up. And they caught up to within about 35 pounds of the calves that stayed on the mother cows until mid-July. That means, of course, then that if we kept those calves around, we'd have to have that extra pasture available for them, which in a drought situation probably isn't practical. But I think that at least gives you some idea of what the advantages to weaning those fall calves in April might be as compared to waiting until a more traditional time in early to mid-July. Keep in mind that with those young cows, that advantage of letting them have all summer without a calf nursing on them means those cows will be in better body condition at calving time next fall, and therefore there will be a higher rebreeding percentage on them the following year.
Again, Oklahoma State University Cooperative Extension Beef Cattle Specialist, Dr. Glenn Selk. It's Agriculture Today.
This is the Micro Essentials Minute, where we dig deeper with the agronomy experts at the Mosaic Company.
We've taken much better care of our air the past several decades, but that means we have to pay even closer attention to our soil. Hi, I'm Ross Bender, Senior Agronomist with the Mosaic Company. There are three key reasons why we see an increase in demand for sulfur in our production systems: improved air quality, purer fertilizers, and higher yields. The moment a farmer realizes there is a deficiency in his soil or plant tissue, it's critical that you react to it immediately. Once you see or spot the deficiency, yield is already lost. When I look for a product to combat sulfur deficiency, I look for one that can easily be adapted to a current production system, one that has data to show how and why that nutrient source works, and then finally, one that shows a distinct yield advantage. And if I can accomplish all three of those factors, I have something that I know will work.
This has been a Micro Essentials Minute. Learn more about maximizing your yield potential at microessentials.com.
Got some property to take care of? Let Kubota help you out. Known worldwide as a leading seller of compact tractors and diesel utility vehicles, Kubota has the equipment to help get your work done. With a variety of tractors and a range of horsepower options, Kubota delivers the efficiency, power, and comfort to handle light construction, landscape work, and chores on the farm. Take on your toughest jobs with a Kubota. See your local dealer today.
Go by Terry County Tractor, 1203 Seagraves Road in Brownfield. Call 806-637-4569.
Did watch a general sell-off of commodities on Friday heading into the weekend. Deepest losses in the wheat pits. Hard red winter wheat, as a matter of fact, with double-digit losses on every contract. Old and new crop, the May, down 11 and 3 quarters, 495 and 3 quarters, while July new crop settled 515 a bushel, down 11 cents, and right in the middle of the day's trading range. July Chicago wheat was 9 cents lower, 489 and a quarter, and July Minneapolis wheat, 5 and 3 quarter cents lower, 626 and 3 quarters. Oat market was in the red. Over to corn, where it was a 2.5 cent loss on the old crop front month May, 386 and a quarter. New crop December, down 2 and 3 quarter cents at 410 and 3 quarters. The bean market was lower with deeper losses on old crop, including July down 6 and 3 quarter cents at 1065 a bushel, and November 4 lower, 1049 and a half. Soy oil, soy meal contracts were all lower on Friday. Cotton market was mixed, 28 points lower on the May at 83.41, but 35 higher on the July at 83.35. Now, the December contract touched just a couple of ticks shy of 79 cents and settled at 78.91, up 8. To the livestock market, where it was a higher close for milk, May contract for Class 3, 1470, that was up 7. Now, 80-cent gain for April live cattle to 116.55. April feeders were a half buck higher, 139.37. April hogs were 47 lower, 53.82, but the May up 37, 69.70. At the end of the day, Dow, NASDAQ, S&P closing lower. Gold and the dollar higher. Crude at 67.37, 30 cents higher a barrel.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure
Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-359-3520. 1-800-359-3520. That's 1-800-359-3520.
You've been listening to Ag Update. If it's happening on the farm, we'll talk about it on Ag Update. Thank you for listening, and join us again for more news and information on Ag Update on TownTalkRadio.com.